All right. Well, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats and we will continue. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we're here because we love you. We're here because we need you. We're here because we want more. We're here because we can probably admit to ourselves that at times we ask for more while still holding up a hand saying, this far but no further. Come close, but not too close. So we recognize, Lord, that there are places in our lives where we resist you. Lord, would you remove those barriers this morning in a way that is healing, in a way that is safe, in a way that has this feeling of, I'm coming home. This is the one I was made for. This is what I am designed to step into, this relationship of God with God that is in a sense naked and unashamed. Lord, we need that. We need you. Lord, this morning, would you have your way? As we read your word and your spirit is at work among us, I pray that the results would be what you want, not what any one of us wants. Because we are people who have said we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the final say in my life. He is the king of this world, and he is certainly the head of the church. So Lord, have your way. Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at your words and your actions, Lord, would your intentions, whatever is in your thought bubble as you speak the words that we read, as you commission and then bless your first followers, I pray that those same intentions in that same thought bubble would be realized in our lives, because it's what we were designed for. We need you. We want you. We love you. So Lord, would you have your way among us? In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who are new with us, just joining this morning, we've been working through the book of Acts. We started it just a couple of weeks ago, and we spent a few weeks just in chapter 1. If you don't know the book of Acts because you're not that familiar with the Bible, that's okay. But the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story of Jesus. And then Jesus returns to the Father. He ascends. He is lifted up and returns to the Father. And before he goes, he promises the gift of his presence by way of the Holy Spirit to his followers. And we're going to step into the story in a moment where they are waiting for more of the Holy Spirit. And you might think, what do you mean more of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what today is all about. So I want to step into the story right at that point, and I want to remind us that God has the ability to give us more of himself. And I'm going to put scriptures up on the screen. Olivia, would you put that slide up that talks about the levels of God's presence? We've covered this before, but I want to remind us of this. God is spirit, and the nature of spirit is that there can be more or less spirit present. So the most basic level is God is everywhere. In him we live and move and have our being, one scripture says. He is all around. Or Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? God has a presence everywhere. But that's the most basic level of the presence of the Holy Spirit. At the next level, there is the gift of the Holy Spirit put inside each one who says, I follow Jesus. It's part of the work of the Spirit to draw us to Jesus, and when we commit and we say yes, the gift of the Spirit comes to us. That's the next level. So he is everywhere, but he is also, if you have committed to Jesus, he lives inside of us. But then there are other levels beyond that. When Jesus says when Christians gather together for something to do with Jesus, like what we are doing now, Jesus says, where two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am among them. That has to mean more than God is everywhere, because God's already everywhere. So Jesus would not be adding anything new, and the statement wouldn't actually make sense to say where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. All right? So there's something more happening. Jesus is more present here at the moment by way of his Spirit because we gather in his name. As we worship, then, there is yet one more level or experience of the Holy Spirit, manifestation of the Holy Spirit, however you choose to describe it. God inhabits the praises of his people, the scripture says. That is yet one more level of God's presence that is in the room and among us as we gather in his name and worship him. But there are yet more levels, which is why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 can write to a group of believers who have the Holy Spirit within each one of them, who have gathered in the name of Jesus as a church and who are worshiping in him, and therefore God is inhabiting the praises of his people in that moment, and he can write to them and still say, be filled. There is more. There is more of God available. What a blessing. What an amazing thing that God will offer you even more of himself. It's there for us. Today is about level 5, being filled with the Spirit. Because that's the point we have reached in our gospel story as it has now continued into Acts. And I want to remind you of what happened at the end of the Gospel of John. John 20, verses 21 and 22. I read this to you last week, but I want to remind us of this. This is really important. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he's speaking with a small group of his disciples. I think it's only 10 of them in the room because it says Thomas is not there, Judas is dead, so it's probably just the 10 other disciples. And he speaks peace to them. Peace to you, he says. And then after he did this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they met the Lord, and Jesus said, peace to you again. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Did they receive the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed? I would say yes. How would you say no? Right? What else could that mean but that as Jesus goes, they are receiving, and he tells them, receive. Are they not in the process of receiving the Holy Spirit? But there is more. What they have been given is a deposit, a down payment, and yet there is more coming for them, which is what Acts 2 is all about, and it's what they are waiting for. So that occurs in that room. Then later on, they go out to the Mount of Olives, beginning of Acts chapter 1. Would you look with me, verses 4 and 5. Jesus is about to ascend to the Father, and right before that, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then down to verse 8. Verse 8 is the key verse in all of Acts. Acts does not happen without verse 8. Right? Then he says, Jesus still speaking, says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in the different cities and countries to the very end of the earth. And so what they do with that promise is they, in obedience, follow Jesus where he said, go back to the city and wait for this to happen, and they go to prayer. So verses 13 and 14 talk about this. When they returned, they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, and those present were the following disciples: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And the group starts to grow. The next verse says that Peter then, at some point in this process of waiting for the Holy Spirit and praying into this promise, the group grows to 120 people, it says in the very next verse. So by the time the day of Pentecost comes, there are at least 120 people who are waiting for more of the Holy Spirit. Some of them perhaps have not yet received, right? It was a small group at the beginning. But they are waiting for this promise of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to pause between Acts 1 and Acts 2 and share a story with you of a person who received the Holy Spirit and then received more of the Holy Spirit and then received more of the Holy Spirit and demonstrated a life like the disciples are about to demonstrate going forward in the book of Acts. Sorry. This is a man, his name is John G. Lake. He was a man who worked in insurance. He's not a career pastor, at least not at the time. Worked in insurance, and God was starting to work in him and develop a preaching gift in him and a healing gift in him in particular. So practicing believer, right? Stepping out to do the works of God, but he starts to feel like there's got to be more, right? 8 years had passed, he says, after God revealed Jesus, the healer, to me. I had been practicing the ministry of healing, and during those 8 years, every answer to prayer, every miraculous touch of God, every response of my soul to the Spirit had created within me a more intense longing for an intimacy with and a consciousness of God, like I believed the disciples of Jesus and the early church had. He went back to Acts and said, I see this here, and it's not yet showing up in my life. And that's from someone who's already been seeing miraculous healings. Shortly after my entrance into the ministry of healing, while attending a service where the opportunity for the baptism of the Spirit was being presented, as I knelt in prayer and reconsecration to God, so he's rededicating his life to God, an anointing Spirit came upon me, and waves of holy glory passed through my being, and I was lifted into a new consciousness of God's presence and God's power. And I ministered for a number of years in the power of what happened in that encounter. Answers to prayers were frequent, and miracles of healing occurred from time to time. I felt myself on the edge of a great spiritual realm and consciousness, but I was unable to enter fully, so that my hunger was not satisfied with what I had received. And friends said to me, you have the baptism of the Spirit. If you did not, you could not enjoy such a fruitful ministry like you have. And they gave me other statements like this. And yet this longing in my soul to me was the evidence that there was yet more, a better experience that my soul knew. Finally, I was led to set aside certain hours of the day that I dedicated to God as times of meditation and prayer. In this way, a number of months passed. It's a number of months of just seeking, just asking, just waiting and meditating. It's this in between Acts 1 and Acts 2. until one morning as I knelt praying, the Spirit of the Lord spoke within me and said, be patient until autumn. I don't know when this was written. I don't know if he was in winter or if he was in summer, but either way, he has to wait till the next season. An ongoing time of preparation and seeking the Lord and waiting for more. My heart rejoiced at this encouragement, and I continued my practice of meditation and prayer. It became easy to detach from the course of daily life so that while my hands and mind were engaged with the common everyday affairs, my spirit maintained this attitude of communion with God. He's practicing an ongoing prayer and abiding in the Lord. In this way, silent prayer became a habitual practice in my life. Indeed, it had been to a great extent in all my life. At this time, in addition to my work as a minister of the gospel, I was employed as a manager at a life insurance company overseeing a group of life insurance agents. And during this period of which I'm now speaking, I preached practically every night. And after our services, I was in the habit of joining a circle of friends who, like myself, were determined to pray through into God where we could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as we believed the early disciples had. He's not saying he does not have the Spirit. He's saying, I see Acts, and I don't yet see that in my life, and I want more. It was my belief not only that I would, by seeking this, sort of attain a new level of consciousness and awareness of God's presence, but that there would be a conscious awareness of God's power upon my life. And if that were to be the case, then he says, I consecrated myself to God again. I said again to the Lord, Lord, if you will baptize me in your Holy Spirit and give me the power of God, then nothing will stand between me and 100-fold obedience. I will go all in, he says. I continued to meet with these friends almost every night for months. A blessed woman of God who was visiting in our city and was being entertained at my home, observing the anguish of my spirit, this hunger, said to me one day, come aside and let's pray. And as she knelt, she said, as we pray, if God reveals any cause of hindrance why you have not received the baptism of Spirit, I will tell you, and if he reveals any cause to you why I have not, then you tell me. And so we prayed, and no hindrance was revealed to either of us. And she said, we will obey the word of God and practice the practice of the early church. And laying her hands on my head, she asked God that I might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A deep calm settled on me. In the afternoon, a brother, a minister, called and invited me to accompany him to visit a lady who was sick. Arriving at that home, we found this lady in a wheelchair. All her joints were set with inflammatory rheumatism, which I looked it up. I believe that means like rheumatoid arthritis, advanced. And she had been in this condition for 10 years. Well, my friend was talking with her and preparing her to be prayed for in order that she might be healed. I sat in a deep chair on the opposite side of the large room. My soul was crying out to God and yearning too deep for words when suddenly it seemed to me that I had passed under a shower of warm tropical rain, which was not falling upon me, but falling through me. My spirit and my soul and my body were under this influence and were soothed into such a deep, still calm as I had never known. My brain, which had always been so active, became perfectly still. An awe of the presence of God settled on me. I knew it was God. Some moments passed. I do not know how many. The Spirit spoke to me. I've heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. You are now to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This seeming rain suddenly stopped. But it left such a calm, such a quiet of God upon me that I cannot express it. And then currents of power began to rush through my being from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. And these shocks of power increased in rapidity and voltage. And these currents of power, as they passed through me, seemed to come from my head and rush through my body and through my feet into the floor. And this power was so great that my body began to vibrate intensely. So that I believe if I had not been sitting in such a deep and low chair, I might have fallen down on the floor. An overwhelming consciousness of God's presence came. A new rush of power taking hold of my very flesh seemed to come from my feet and move upward. My throat and my tongue began to move in a strange manner, and I found that I was unable to speak English. Presently, I began to speak in another language, one that I had never learned by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I prayed, Father, you know that I have witnessed many, he says, psychic phenomenon. In other words, I've seen people who might look like this, but it's not necessarily God. Is this power from you? Or is it just something psychological going on? Is it real power, or do I just think it is? Father, I want to know. God answered that heart cry in the following manner. At that instant, I observed my friend was motioning to me to come and join him in prayer for the woman who was in the wheelchair and sick. In his absorption with her, he had not observed anything that had taken place in me. I arose to go to him, but I found that my body was trembling so violently that I had great difficulty in walking across the room, and especially in controlling the trembling of my hands and my arms. And I was familiar with sick people, having ministered to them for so many years, and I knew that it would not be wise to lay my hands upon this sick woman, as I was very likely to jar her. It occurred to me that all that was necessary was to touch the tips of my fingers to the top of this woman's head, and then the vibrations would not jar her. And I did this. And at once the currents of holy power passed through my being, and I knew that it likewise passed through the one who was sick. She did not speak, but was apparently amazed at the effect in her body. My friend, who had been talking with her, had been kneeling as he talked to her in his great earnestness. He arose, saying, "Let us pray that the Lord will now heal you." And as he did so, he took her by the hand. The instant their hands touched, a flash of dynamic power went through my person and through the sick woman. And as my friend held her hand, the shocks of power passed through her hand into him. And the rush of power into his person was so great that it caused him to fall down to the floor. And he looked up at me with joy and surprise, and springing to his feet, he said, "Praise the Lord, John. Jesus has baptized you in the Holy Ghost." He took the crippled hand that had been set for so many years, and the clenched hand opened, and the joints began to work. First the fingers, then the hand, then the wrist, then the elbow, then the shoulder, and so on. These were the outward manifestations, but oh, who could describe the thrills of joy inexpressible that were passing through my spirit? Who could comprehend the peace and the presence of God that filled my soul? The sanctifying power of the Spirit that was in my flesh, that was subduing all my nature to what I understood was the nature of Christ. Oh, the revelation of his will and the unspeakable tenderness that possessed me, a love for mankind such as I had never known, like Jesus had, were all born within me. Even at this late date, 10 years afterwards, the awe of that hour rests upon my soul. My experience has truly been as Jesus said, "He shall be within you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That's a quote of John 4:14. That never-ceasing fountain has flowed day and night through my soul, my spirit, my body, bringing salvation and healing and the baptism of the Spirit in the power of God to multitudes. Acts still happens. Let's read about the disciples and what they experienced. When the day of Pentecost had come, Acts 2, verse 1, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's as far as we're going to get today. And this is the word of the Lord. As I read this passage, one of the first things that sticks out to me is that it's a violent wind. There's a disruption that is part of, I think, actually the nature of God as he makes his presence more real and known. It's not business as usual when God shows up in power. So don't expect the Lord, if we are truly seeking him for more of him, to play by the rules that we want. Oh, I'm sure he'll just act in this way. No, this was a disruptive event. It took them from one place to the next, and it drew a crowd because of the disruption. That is part of the nature of God. And they start to speak in other languages, in tongues. It's not only disruptive, but it's undignifying. The gift of tongues, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, is not a particularly dignifying thing, to be honest, which is why so few people do actually seek it in certain circles of the church. And a lot of people say, I want more of you, Lord, but not what you might bring here. But they tend to go hand in hand. It's a fascinating thing that we want more of God, but we want him to dignify us in the process. And we don't want him to be disruptive at all. And yet those are the two very things where it starts. So where's my heart at and where is your heart at? Are you willing to have some disruption in your life? Are you willing to look undignified? Because tongues is not dignifying. And that's just one example. Olivia, would you put up the quote that should be the next slide, I believe? I read this in a book this week. Scoffers often criticize revivals when people fall down, or we could just add, speak in tongues, or laugh in the spirit, or some other crazy manifestation. Scoffers often criticize revivals when people fall down, saying that that is humiliating and undignified. Exactly, this author writes. No one enters the presence of God without losing all pride. To scoff at something like this only shows an unwillingness to enter into God's presence. Will we truly pray, I want more of you at any cost? Or do we only pray, God only come into my life in such a way that I continue to maintain everything that I want to maintain and have to sacrifice absolutely nothing? Because that's what happens in Acts 2. It's disruptive and it's undignified. And you know what? I think if we've gone through, like this guy did, a time of preparation over days and weeks and months like the disciples had, where they at least had this period where they're praying into, Lord, do what you want, and I'm waiting for your promise. I think it's in that time of preparation where we actually start to lay some of that stuff down and stop doing, you know, I've done this so many times, like come closer but not too close kind of thing. It's in those times of preparation where we actually, the Lord helps us put down this stop sign and we just say, come, Lord. If you come with tongues, so be it. If I have to look silly in front of people, I will do it because I love you more and I want you more than I care about my own self-image. The disciples don't seem to have cared about their self-image anymore. And I hope that maybe as we spend more time in those prayer rooms of preparation, in seeking the Lord for more, that's part of what happens in those times as we start to just allow the Lord to be honest with us and allow ourselves to be honest with the Lord and say, I know I've been putting up a stop sign. Lord, would you help me bring this one down? Because I really do need more of you in my life, and I probably need you most in those places where I'm doing this. I'm preaching to myself. Let's talk about tongues, because this is going to come up again and again and again as we go through the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians 14 says that the praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, singing in tongues is a gift that builds oneself up. If you use this gift, there will be something in you that improves, something that draws you nearer to God, though you might not experience it that way. When this happened to me, it was the most, I don't want to say boring, but like, what my initial impression of what I thought that experience would be like was that it would be some sort of like enthusiastic, yay, spiritual high. It was not that. In fact, it was confusing. Jackie Pullinger, in an interview that I listened to recently, she's the one that wrote that book, Chasing the Dragon, I told you about a couple weeks ago, a number of times. She says that when she had this experience of the Spirit filling her, of what's called the baptism spirit. I'll get into the language in a minute, regardless of what you call it. She had people lay hands on her and pray for more of the Spirit to come, and she did have this experience of speaking in tongues. She didn't like it, right? It wasn't some spiritual high. She found it embarrassing, and so she chose not to practice it. And then she says she encountered another couple somewhere down the line who said, do you pray in tongues? And she said, well, I have, but I don't, because it's not helping me out at all. And they looked at her and said, well, the Bible says you will be built up. It doesn't say you will feel built up, so do it. She said, okay. And she started, she made it a discipline to pray in tongues for 15 to 20 minutes a day, every day. And she noticed about 6 weeks down the road after doing that daily that people started getting saved in her ministry. And she hadn't seen people saved to that point. There was something that shifted, though she didn't feel it. But the text says that someone will be built up. Is this not a gift we would want if we're going to be built up? I would think so. And to be built up, does that not sound like empowerment? Did Jesus not say, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? That was the promise, right? And so how interesting that now, as God pours out his Spirit and power, they speak in tongues. I think there might be a link there. I mean, I'm just reading the Bible at this point. Does tongues always come with experiences of the Spirit being poured out in greater measure in your life? I don't think so. I have Pentecostal friends who, this is like a hill that some Pentecostals die on, though I've also noticed that there's this shift in Pentecostal circles where they no longer insist on it. So it seems to me, reading the book of Acts, that it's often, but not always. Acts 4, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. It does not say that they speak in tongues. Acts 8 would be the same thing. So I don't think it always happens, but I think it often happens. And I do ask now, wouldn't you want a good gift that God offers? I think these are invitations, and I only share it as an invitation. This is not Ben wagging his finger and saying, you must, or you should, or now this week you shall. Nothing like that. It's just, I think the Bible invites us into more of God. And I think God is a generous God who longs to pour out his Spirit and to offer things that will build us up and empower us for ministry and all of that. And it's an invitation. No pressure. Except as you feel that pressure coming from the Bible. Now, what do we call this? Would you put the next slide up for me, please, Olivia? What do we call this event? The book that I read described it as a baptism in the Spirit. Right? And as I started looking through scripture for this term, I noticed these terms were used interchangeably. So look with me. Acts 1:5, as Jesus speaks and says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he uses the word baptism there, right? You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's referring to Acts 2, right? But when Acts 2 comes, it doesn't say that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 4. And then later on, as Peter is describing to the onlookers what has happened, he describes it out of the language of the book of Joel, quoting the book of Joel, saying that this is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I believe these terms are used interchangeably. So I no longer die on the hill of this is the baptism of the Spirit. I simply say, I think we could call this, there's more. Call it what you want. I think the Bible uses a variety of language for it. So let's call it more. And I remind you of that passage. I've already quoted it. I reminded you of it last week. The same people who experienced this in Acts 2, some of them are there at this event in Acts 4:29, where they pray. And they say, Lord, consider the threats that are coming to your servants and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And they finish praying, the place is shaken, and it says in verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. These are people who, some of whom had received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed, who had then received the Holy Spirit in greater measure in Acts 2 at Pentecost, and now at this prayer meeting in Acts 4 have once again been filled. Is there more? Would you like more? I want more. I want more. There's more on offer. Do we not? I need more. I was reading in a different book this week, a Baptist pastor by the name of A.J. Gordon points this out. He says, did you receive Jesus by a conscious act on your part? Did you say, Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? I accept your offer of forgiveness and grace and mercy. I believe you died for it. Is that not a conscious act? He says, should we not expect then that receiving more of the Holy Spirit might also include at times a conscious act on our part where we seek, where we ask? That were those not Jesus's words? Ask, seek, knock. And it's applied specifically to more of the Holy Spirit. That's Luke 11. God invites us to ask for more of him. He's making himself available. Here's how I'm going to close. This book this week, I read this book, an entire book on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a prayer at the end of it. It's long. As I read this prayer, one of the things that stuck out to me was that this is an Acts 1 and 2 prayer. It's an Acts prayer. This is a prayer that I'm sure it was right along the lines of what the disciples were praying as they were waiting for the gift that the Father was about to pour out. And this is a prayer that reflects the way that the disciples, once they have been filled with the Spirit, then go on into ministry in the days ahead. It's a prayer of submission. It's a prayer of saying, I'm all in. I will drop this hand that holds you back. Just come, Lord. It's a bold prayer that's courageous, saying, I will do hard things and I don't care about being or looking dignified anymore. It's a prayer much like what I believe the Lord answered on the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to pray it over myself. It's one of the reasons why we pray out loud. We pray out loud so that other people can agree in prayer and say amen. Say, I want that too. So this is a prayer I am only praying for myself. I'm not praying it for you because you might still be in that preparation stage in Acts 1, like we talked about last week, of building that altar that the fire would come. And so if you're not ready to pray this prayer, I'm not, that's why I'm only reading it and saying, I'm praying this over myself. And it's a really hard prayer. And so you might have a pre-prayer. Lord, I'm not quite there, but Lord, make me willing. And deal with whatever resistance is still internal. So I offer this prayer only as an example, and it's something I'm praying over myself. And if you at some point want it, I can send it your way. This is long. Sit tight. Father, I come in the authority of Jesus' name. I thank you for drawing me to yourself through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me at the cross, bearing my sins and the sins of the world. I thank you for also bearing in your body sickness and disease so that healings could be released through the laying on of hands and the prayers of Christians. I thank you for bearing the stripes on your body by which I and others could be healed. Jesus, the Bible says that you are the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill me again. I want to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, bearing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus, I also want to walk in the fruit of being able to ask and receive in your name, to walk in faith. Faith to step out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to prophesy, receive and give words of knowledge, and to be used in healing, experiencing the gifts of healing. I want not only to grow in my measure of faith, I want to experience your gift of faith, a faith that removes doubt, that gives certainty that the mountain I am speaking to is going to move, the kind of faith that results in miracles. I want to be able to set people free who are demonized, aided by the gift of discerning of spirits, and be able through this same gift to judge prophecy, whether it is from you, the flesh, or the enemy. I want to be able to speak in tongues, enabling me to build myself up in the Holy Spirit to make me stronger for your service. I do not want to be limited in my ability to pray, because when I am not limited, my spirit can be led by your spirit as it searches my heart to pray about things my mind does not understand. Lord, I'm willing to bring a message in tongues to my church if you would desire. I ask to be able to interpret messages in tongues so that the people who hear would know and benefit, that they would hear the words of praise and adoration to you offered by the Holy Spirit. I want to experience the gift of the word of wisdom in order to have godly wisdom, to know what to do, to know how to give words of knowledge, to know how and when to bring forth your prophetic words, to know the timing of when to release them, to have the wisdom to understand the ways of God as well as the timing of God. Jesus, I ask for these gifts from 1 Corinthians 12. I know that they are all in the Holy Spirit and he is in me. I ask that these gifts that I have access to through the indwelling Holy Spirit would be stirred up in me. I know they are not mine, they are yours. But I also know that I have access to them through my justification. Jesus, I also ask that I would walk in whatever gifts you know I need to fulfill your purpose for my life. Help me to understand the gifts you have worked in me and to grow in them, seeing my measure of faith grow, whether it is prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, or showing mercy. Help me to honor the gifts I see in my Christian brothers and sisters and to encourage them in their gifts. Holy Spirit, Thank you for convicting me of my sins, alerting me to my need of forgiveness and a righteousness that was not my own, not based upon what I had done or how good I was. Thank you for revealing to me the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you drew me to the Father through Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking what the Father has made known to Jesus and now revealing this knowledge to me. Thank you for coming inside of me in regeneration, in my new birth. I know that you and the Father and the Son live in me through your presence in me. Holy Spirit, I want more of the triune God in me, more of you, more of Jesus, more of the Father. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ by the renewing of my mind. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on me. Holy Spirit, I need your sanctifying work in my heart. Come and set me free from sins that I have not been able to overcome, that bring me shame and guilt. I'm thankful that I can approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and forgiveness, but I ask for your power to become victorious over those sins in my life that are causing me to stumble, that compromise my witness to Christ. I believe there is such an experience of power in you that I can become victorious in my walk with Christ. I want to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. I want to experience all that Jesus suffered and died for. I want to receive all the rewards of the Lamb that was slain. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant me a broken and contrite heart over my weakness and sin. Create a new heart within me and give me a willing spirit. Lift me up out of the muddy pit. Set my feet upon the rock and put a new song in my heart. Lord God, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. Make me a coin in your pocket and spend me any way you want. God, I want to become an ambassador of reconciliation and your witness by my words and by my life. God, baptize me in your Spirit. Let me burn with the fire of your presence. I surrender my life totally to you, and I believe as I lay my life on your altar, your fire will come down and consume this offering. Amen. Let's just sit for a moment in silent prayer. Randy Clark, the author of the prayer I just read in the book reading from, says, if there's something in this prayer that you cannot honestly pray, would like to be able to pray, I suggest you begin with the following prayer. Lord, I want to be willing to pray this commitment, but I know there's a struggle in my heart. So I ask you to change my heart and make me willing. I want to be willing. I want to be filled. I want a first time or a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray he has his way. Lord, we pray you would have your way. We want to be used by you. We believe your word. We believe the examples that we see in the book of Acts. We believe that it is something that is to continue. And it's absolutely necessary for us to have more of you to see that happen. Lord, would you guide us in responding to your invitation? Lord, would you guide us in whatever process we have or need that is a preparation for receiving? Guide us in pursuit. And may it all be out of deep, deep love for Jesus, out of loyalty to your word, out of love for the people that come to mind when we pray, because we know that they need a touch from you. And you said that you would do these things through your people. As Jesus said, out of our very being will flow rivers of living water. Would you pour afresh your rivers of living water that we would overflow to those who most need it, as we see happening in the book of Acts? Or do it for the sake of our loved ones. Do it for the sake of those who do not yet know Jesus. Do it because you love your bride. Do it because it glorifies you to see your word fulfilled. Do it simply because we are your servants and we submit ourselves to you. And you are the master, so we're going to take our orders from you, following your example. So Lord, thank you so much. Guide us in pursuit. Guide us in receiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to come on up and we'll offer one final worship song. I was surprised when I saw Suzanne's set list of songs. She took us to oldies. And this last one, you're closing with How Great Thou Art, right? Mm-hmm. My first experience that I can recall with the song How Great Thou Art was at a Billy Graham conference. He came to what was called Skydome at the time. It's now the Rogers Center, the place where the Blue Jays play in Toronto. And the place was packed out. I think they had 60 or 80 or 90,000 people there. People were like hanging from the rafters. Billy Graham, I don't think ever called it the baptism of the Spirit, but he had a profound encounter with God, calling out for more that he might share good news. It looks different in different people's lives, but do we not want more people to be touched with the Spirit of God, to be empowered for the ministry that other people might know Jesus? That's the God we worship, and he still does that stuff. So would you stand? Let's rise. Let's worship our God. God is great, and he does great things, and he will do great things in your life, especially as you seek him for more and yield to him in the process. If you want help with that process or prayer or just more talk, happy to do that. Just reach out. If you want to take a picture of this prayer because you want to start praying it, happy to share that with you too. I had the word pelvis come to mind while worshiping here, so if that relates to you and you would like prayer for something in that vein, happy to do that. Happy to pray with you about anything, though. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you more of himself. Go in peace, friends. Have a great week.